This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
The House's virus relief bill contains billions in new money for food and ag programs, but faces an uncertain future as it now heads to the Senate. There are $4 billion for USDA to buy ag commodities for donations and grants and loans to food processors, $800 million for food and peace overseas donations, and $300 million for monitoring animals for COVID, $500 million for grants for COVID services in low-income rural areas, and billions more for SNAP, WIC, and school meals. Senate Ag Chairman Debbie Stabenow.
The COVID-19 crisis is continuing to disrupt our food supply chain for farmers, food processors, and essential workers. Tens of millions of families still don't have enough to eat and are lining up at food banks in order to put food on the table.
But the bill faces tough going in the Senate, where the parliamentarian has nixed, under budget rules, House Democrats' $15 minimum wage. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer must decide whether to fight the parliamentarian's ruling or ditch the $15 minimum wage, risking a Democratic rebellion in the House. Meantime, second-time USDA Tom Vilsack must review billions in remaining but frozen CFAP funds.
We also, as Senator Bozeman indicated, have to review the additional relief that's been ordered by Congress and try to get that into the hands of farmers, ranchers, producers, and those in rural America as quickly, efficiently, as effectively as possible.
American Farm Bureau President Zippy Duval wrote Vilsack to extend last Friday's application deadline by at least one more month past the review for producers to apply for the latest CFAP money. A Vilsack spokesman says FSA will do that. In other ag news out of the Department of Agriculture, Ag Secretary Vilsack says that China is making good on its promises in the Phase 1 trade deal it signed with the U.S. last year. CNBC says Vilsack points out the agreement allows market conditions to determine how much it has to buy from American farmers. COVID qualifies as the market condition that would legitimately impact how much China has to buy under the agreement. In the first year of the deal, China imported $100 billion of the U.S. goods agreed to in the deal. That's 58% of the $173.1 billion goal set in 2020. However, the secretary says he's upbeat on Chinese progress. Quote, "I think they still have a few days to be able to meet the Phase 1 Year 1 goal," Vilsack said. "Whether they meet the exact amount, I think, is in question because of the pandemic more so than anything." The secretary will tackle a lot of challenges in the world of U.S. ag, including the COVID-19 era rise in hunger, as well as a sharp drop in restaurant demand for food products. Improving access to broadband here in rural America continues to be an important topic of conversation. Parts of farm country are critically underserved when it comes to accessing the World Wide Web. Abigail Spanberger is a Democratic representative of Virginia and a member of the House Agricultural Committee. She spoke during an AgriPulse webinar back in early February on rural issues in Congress and says she found out firsthand just how important broadband is to farmers.
As one producer told me quite some time ago, farmers are the original work from home folks. And the way that we do business this century is internet. And so everything from being able to update machinery to communicate with buyers and suppliers, internet really, really matters.
She says better broadband access can be a key to helping rural communities survive and thrive.
Broadband, frankly, is an element of that because so many of the communities that I represent, the rural communities where broadband is an issue, it matters to the workforce that they can recruit. It matters to the folks who might be able to work from home who would want to move back, let's say, to Louisa County where they grew up in my district. And those folks, maybe they wouldn't work there locally, but they'd live there. They'd be involved in the community. They might go out to restaurants. And that revenue stream for that local community is so vitally important to have somebody who's a taxpayer, a homeowner, living and giving back to a community that they either choose to make their own or potentially one that they grew up in.
Spanberger says the current efforts to improve broadband access have been complementary.
Depending upon where you live, sometimes those complementary efforts lead up to a patchwork that gets you and your community members access to internet. Depending upon where you live, that patchwork might leave you in a hole where you don't have access. And so the ReConnect program, which is an excellent program, a federal grant program that communities can apply for, it's been very valuable. It's been very valuable in my district. My first year in Congress, I worked initially to increase funding for that program and then ultimately to protect funding when the Senate zeroed it out in funding bills.
Kip Eidelberg is the Senior Vice President of Government Affairs and Industry Relations for the Association of Equipment Manufacturers. He says improving broadband access in rural America benefits farm country and the nation as a whole.
Rural America is still waiting on reliable high-speed broadband, and that is a big problem if you live in rural communities and if you make equipment in rural communities. Strong rural communities that provide Americans with quality education, state-of-the-art infrastructure, economic certainty for our farmers and our ranchers, and family-sustaining jobs are critical to the long-term success of rural communities, of equipment manufacturers, and of our country.
And again, that was Kip Eidelberg with the Association of Equipment Manufacturers. Before that was Abigail Spanberger, a Democratic representative from Virginia and a member of the House Ag Committee. Moving on into State of Illinois Ag News, the U.S. EPA has issued rules allowing dicamba to be used on soybeans again this year. The State of Illinois, however, has some additional application restrictions. These extra restrictions for dicamba used on soybeans in the state are nearly identical to those from last year, according to University of Illinois Extension weed scientist Aaron Hager.
Very similar to last year, there will be a temperature restriction on the product labels, and the restriction will indicate that these dicamba-containing products cannot be applied to soybean if the actual air temperature at the field at the time of application is over 85 degrees or if the National Weather Service forecasted temperature for the nearest available location for the day of application exceeds 85 degrees. And the other significant change and difference between the states and federal labels is that Illinois will again restrict applications of these dicamba-containing products on soybean to June 20th.
The federal application restriction is to June 30th, but again, the Illinois rules do not allow for a dicamba application on soybeans after June 20th. Hager reminds farmers and applicators that they'll need to be aware of adjacent properties before spraying. Applications cannot be made if the wind is blowing toward residential areas or natural preserves. They'll also need to consult the Endangered Species website. The URL is on the product label. Counties with endangered species have different downwind buffers. Those counties have changed from last year again. New this year is that the only crop to be allowed downwind in those counties that have an endangered species is another field of dicamba soybeans.
So in other words, if you had a corn field that you would like to count in your downwind buffer calculation in endangered species counties, you cannot do that.
U.S. EPA's dicamba herbicide on the soybean application restrictions was issued as a 5-year federal label. States have the authority to impose tighter restrictions through a federal process. And in other state ag news, the American Farm Bureau Federation recently concluded a study on COVID's impacts on the mental wellness in rural America, and a Piatt County nonprofit is analyzing its results. The Piatt County Mental Health Center's Executive Director, Tony Kirkman, calls the report fascinating as it breaks down the study, which surveyed the farming community specifically.
There was a recent report that came out from the American Farm Bureau Federation in December of 2020, and basically what they were wanting to do is to survey individuals, particularly in the farming community, to see how COVID has impacted their mental health. You know, it's a fascinating report, so I would encourage your readers, if they like stats, it's a really good look at what counties like DeWitt and Piatt, you know, are going through. And so, you know, they are showing that one of the stats just says 3 in 5 rural adults, 61%, says that COVID-19 has impacted their mental health a lot or some. And that's kind of what we're seeing, too, is, you know, a significant rise in referrals and self-reports of heightened anxiety and depression.
A recent study also showed an increase in binge drinking by adults over 30. Kirkman says that is not going to help anyone's situation. He hopes people will try to focus on the positive things that COVID has brought to bear. In local ag news here on your Monday, the Montgomery County Soil and Water Conservation District is still accepting orders for their 2021 fish sale. The sale's planned for Wednesday, March 17th at St. Patrick's Day at noon, but pre-orders are due by today. Many species of live fish for pond stocking will be available, as well as fathead minnows and grass carp for your farm pond maintenance. Again, pre-orders for the spring fish sale here in Montgomery County are due today. You can obtain your order form by calling the Montgomery County Soil and Water Conservation District at 532-3361, extension 3, or you can download a form off of their Facebook page. And the Macoupin County Agricultural Education Foundation is still offering those scholarships for the upcoming school year. The County Foundation offers the scholarships to provide encouragement and financial assistance to Macoupin County residents or students of a Macoupin County High School who display well-balanced attributes of good citizenship, commitment to activity, and scholastic ability. The applicant must be a graduating high school senior or a current college student who plans to attend or is attending an Illinois junior college, university, or career technical education program and is intending or is currently going for a major in agriculture. Applications are available through any Macoupin County High School guidance counselor, ag instructor, or from the Macoupin County Farm Bureau directly. An electronic copy of the application can be requested by contacting the Macoupin County Farm Bureau office by phone or email. That email is mcfb@frontiernet.net, and the phone number is 854-2571. All applications must be submitted to the Farm Bureau office in Carlinville by March 26th. And another local ag news, don't forget that this coming Saturday, March 6th, the Madison County Fair Board will be holding a drive-through chicken dinner at the fairgrounds in Highland, again on Saturday from 5 to 7 p.m. Drive-through chicken is $10 for 6 pieces of chicken. And that concludes your ag news here on this Monday afternoon, but remember you can always send us your ag news by email at WSMI at WSMIradio.com. So again, for this Monday afternoon, March 1st, this has been Gabe Osborne reporting WSMI Ag News.